Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. It's also a pleasure to welcome Kathleen Mills to our show. She's enjoyed a 31-year career with the FBI, 17 years of which were in senior or executive leadership roles. And when she retired from the FBI, she had a lot of insights and energy to share. And so Kathleen launched a coaching practice that helps others really evolve to be the best version of themselves, from leadership training to women, empowering women, to supportive coaching for life. The coaching experience offers various services that help people to be more effective, learn their true power, and become respected members of their teams and communities. Her balanced leadership model explores the actions needed to bring managing work and leading people into balance. Leaders, she says, must have to really have that ability to get things done and connect with their team in a meaningful, compassionate way. When those are in balance, high performers and team cohesion are in abundance. Beloved leaders can strike a balance between achieving results and having meaningful relationships. It takes a lot of confidence and courage to focus on that balance. Kathleen terms a part of her foundation teaching the experience cycle. It's a way of changing perspectives to change how we think, which changes our emotions and ultimately shapes our behaviors, examining how we take in information, process it, and act upon it. That's critical to making change stick. Kathleen learned many lessons from her 17 years of leadership and then studied executive leadership coaching at Georgetown University, and she's become an in-demand coach who gets most new clients by recommendation, and she's also a gifted speaker. She joins us for the next 30 minutes right here on Close Up Radio Live, coming to us from Stafford, Virginia, Kathleen Mills of The Coaching Experience. Kathleen, welcome to Close Up Radio Live. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks, Jim. I so appreciate you having me today.
We appreciate your being with us and looking forward to it. As you and I were chatting before we went live on the air, you've had such a varied and interesting, fascinating career. I like to find out what inspires people to do what they do, sort of humanize our guests. Tell us about not only some of the highlights of your career, but what is it about this kind of work that spoke to you, that inspired you to want to pursue it, and some of the background that you've had, the rich background that also complements the work that you do as a coach?
Oh, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk a little bit about some of these things, because they're really near and dear to my heart. As you said, I worked for the FBI for 31 years, and more than half of my career was in leadership. I didn't really start out on my leadership path with the right mindset. And by that, I mean, I saw people around me doing this thing called leadership, and some of them were great, and some of them were not. And when I say great, I mean, how did that affect me as the, you know, worker bee on the team? And I thought to myself, I don't think that's a good decision, or I don't like the way we're going down this path. And at that young age, and with the optics that I had at that point, I thought, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And then I'll be able to make the decisions, and I'll be able to send the team down a particular path that I thought was right. And that led to getting into leadership with a mindset of directing, not engaging. And there's a big difference when you want to lead people versus just manage work. So I learned the hard way. I got some pretty direct feedback from my team in my early years that said, you don't lead. You're not good at it. And we want somebody who leads us. And I had to take a moment and really think about that because I thought I was doing great. So
yeah.
Really getting that feedback, you know, I had to allow it to sink in. So that's how I started.
That's incredible. That's fantastic. Great highlights, too. And you became engaged as well, or maybe disenfranchised by
mm-hmm.
leadership as well. Tell us about that.
I did. There was, you know, I mean, overall, when I think about my career, I have a very positive feeling when I reflect on the 31 years. And, of course, you know, there are going to be times when you look back and say, this person didn't do right by me, or that person lied to me about something, or whatever the issue was. There's some things in there that have the ability to set you on a track that will disenfranchise you to the organization. And, you know, I really was happy most of my days. I felt very blessed to get up out of bed and go to work at a place that does what it does, supports and protects the people in this country, and I felt very strongly about that. And so I had to make sure that my perspective, and we'll talk a little bit about this as we go through the half an hour, my perspective on the negative didn't overtake me. So yes, I had the ability to become a permanent person in the disenfranchised land, but I opted to not let that overtake me. And I can look back on 31 years and say, you know, maybe I wasn't treated the best in every situation, but that's okay. I learned equally from those negative situations as I did from the positive ones.
That's incredible. And you created the coaching experience out of all this. I like that title.
Tell us
about some of the incredible things that you offer your clients through the coaching experience.
Sure. Yeah. So I focus in two broader areas, coaching and leadership training. And I do traditional coaching, which is one-on-one, and it's very client-driven. The client comes to the coaching relationship with something that is on their mind, something of a place that they're in struggle with, and they want to have a different outcome in their lives. And that's very driven by the client. I don't come to that relationship with any answers for them. I don't come to that with any advice for clients. It's just being an extremely good listener, highlighting patterns that I'm hearing or seeing, and showing perhaps a different way to think about something if the client is willing to receive that as part of the conversation. So it's really what is in the client's mind and where they want to go is completely how that traditional coaching experience goes. But I also offer what I call a hybrid coaching teaching opportunity. And that's like taking specific topic areas. Like if you want to be better at managing your emotions, or if you want to be a better communicator with the word choices that you have, you want to maybe build your reputation. There are small courses, if you will, built into that one-on-one client relationship. So it's offering a new context of what they might not know. So offering new information and then going into the coaching relationship to talk about, well, how do you see this showing up in your life? What might be the origin of that? How might we set goals to get to a different behavior or a different outcome that you want to see and you want to embrace in your life? And so it's a hybrid of teaching and coaching in one series of sessions. That's also part of a team building as well. So if a company wants to put several people on the same team into one of these accelerated sessions, that's really helpful for the team cohesion as well. And then I do a lot of leadership training, anything from what do you have to know to become a good leader, from not leading at all to stepping into the venue of leadership. Like, you have to know yourself. You have to understand what motivates you, what drives you, where your triggers are, where they're rooted, so you can get in front of them and filter and show up the way you want to and be the person that you want to be in that leadership role. And if you aren't connected to yourself in a real meaningful, intentional way, that's a difficult something to ask of a brand new leader. So I offer training around that. And then I offer a balanced leadership course, which is focusing on the accomplishment, which is what we get paid for. You know, leaders get paid to have their teams do something, create something, reach goals. So you can't diminish the accomplishment side of things as a leader, but you can't also let that drive every single thing that you do. You have to be able to bring balance into your leader or into your relationships, because people want to know that their leader sees them, hears them, values them, and that there's a sense of belonging when they go to work. And if you are focused on creating an environment where everyone on your team gets that feeling, gets that authenticity from you, you will be surprised at what comes out of that. It's often you stop asking for people to do things, and the initiative comes from the team itself. And they do more, better, faster, stronger than they would if they didn't really have a relationship. So those are
so
really
true.
The packages that I bring to work or bring to the table. Yeah.
You're working with individuals, groups, large companies, small companies. Tell us about some of the folks that you work with.
Well, I've worked with people in all sectors, government, nonprofit, private sector. So it just depends. You know, I've worked with the senior leadership of companies down to 22-year-olds trying to figure out what life is about and where to go and how to make a decision for themselves. So I really have a gamut of clients, age and where they work.
That's great. So it's quite a variety and a great scope. You actually advise people to slow down and not act on autopilot. Why are gut reactions the wrong way to go in leadership circles? Is it there's too much emotion involved? Or tell us about that.
Well, gut reactions aren't bad per se. In certain situations, they're actually a really good compass for us. The issue really is, and that I try to help people understand, is when you don't know why your gut is telling you something and you act on it, it's 50-50 if you're going to come out on the right side of that decision. So if I can talk a little bit about how understanding the why behind that gut reaction, that would be, I think, helpful to lay some of the context. So you mentioned
Absolutely.
In the intro. Oh, good. Thank you. Sorry, I kind of jumped in there just a little bit.
No, that's great. No.
So you mentioned in the introduction the experience cycle. So really what that is really understanding how our brains process stimuli. Any situation that we're in, how do we process that, and then what do we do with it? So we process the stimuli, and at the end of that experience, we have an experience. And the brain files that experience. Since we were born, the brain has been filing experiences. So when you break that down and you look at the stimuli coming at you, what perspective are you taking on that? Is it a positive perspective? Is it a negative perspective? That perspective drives how we think about that situation and that stimuli coming at us. So if the perspective is negative, Johnny's walking down the hall and he doesn't say hello to you, and you think, well, that was rude. He's pretty much a jerk. That's a perspective that you're taking that's negative. And your thinking is, well, he's a jerk. He just was rude to me. I'm not going to talk to him tomorrow. or the next time I see them, or whatever the situation is. That's a negative couple of first steps. That drives how you feel about it. That's going to bring you some discomfort. Why was I ignored? What did I do? That makes me feel vulnerable. And then the behavior comes after the emotion. And that is maybe like carrying out through my example, why I'm not going to talk to Johnny anymore because he was rude to me. And that whole experience is filed in your brain as a negative exchange. And it stays there for reference every time you come up against something that's similar, or any situation actually. Your brain goes back into its filing cabinet and looks for situations that were similar. And it will pull up, it will evoke the same perspective, thinking, and emotions that give you basically the same behavior. So when you're trying to break cycles, it's really important that you slow the noise around you to concentrate on how am I taking in the stimuli? What is my perspective? Can I say to myself, oh, Johnny must have had a bad day today. You know, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Maybe he really had a hard time. I'm going to cut him some slack. That's a positive perspective on something. And that formulates your thinking and your emotions. Maybe you're feeling, gosh, I want to check in. I'm feeling some empathy towards Johnny. I'm going to check in on him and see if he's doing okay. And that's the behavior that it generates. So the way you frame something out in your mind right away is going to change the way you experience that situation. And if you don't slow down, if you don't, you know, quiet the noise, slow the thinking, take yourself off autopilot, your subconscious is going to do all of that for you, and you're going to find yourself reacting to situations in the same way time after time after time and not understanding how you got there. So that's where the connection is drawn for me. Like the subconscious, you could think about that as the Autobahn. And your purposeful, intentional thinking and understanding is like a slow country road. And when you think about the first time you drive on a slow country road, it's windy and turny, and you know, you have to be very particular. You have to pay close attention to what's going on around you because you don't know what's around the corner. But the more you drive that, the faster it becomes. Maybe you can go a little faster on that country road as you get more practiced at it. And it's the same way with thinking and really coming to terms with how you as a human being process stimuli coming into you and ultimately deciding how you want to show up at the end of that exchange. Does that resonate, Jim?
It does. It really, really does. And in a very positive and forward-thinking way, one of the sections of people that you have also, or genres that you have also coached, is people who see a lot in their lives, law enforcement. And that must be a very interesting assignment. And I believe you were connected through someone you knew back at the FBI. Can you talk about how that project went?
Absolutely. And I'm really proud of that. I don't think it's any secret to the listeners that the law enforcement profession is in a decline. And to me, it's very personal. I'm not sworn. I'm not a sworn officer. I wasn't ever a special agent. My focus there was support to the agent, the support to the organization from an administrative perspective. But it's, to me, it becomes a little of my inside heart here. There's a tie to strong democracy when you have a strong law enforcement entity. And to me, you can't have both. If you have a bad law enforcement structure or people don't trust it, democracy is going to waver. So for me, being able to work with departments across the country through a company called Performance Protocol, I'm able to coach officers for a higher level of retention. And they performance protocol uses coaching as an avenue to help officers better understand themselves. Why do they do what they do? If they have personal challenges, how do you balance your life? So there's a tremendous amount of personal fulfillment in being able to reach this community and support it. And I got there because of a relationship that I had back when I worked at the FBI Academy. So I had a colleague that ran our national academy, which is a part of the FBI that offers high leadership to come back to the academy for a 10-week session. Anyway, so he was running the National Academy program, and I was running curriculum, and we worked a lot together. So we, you know, we formed a relationship, a nice working relationship, but years went by, and we both retired and went our separate ways, and he called me out of the blue one day, and he said, "Hey, I see you're doing coaching. I just started working for this company, and this is what we do. I'd love for you to work with us." And I was elated to be invited. And it just gives me so much fulfillment and personal joy to be able to serve this community and actually see the change. People want to stay in the job now. They don't want to, a lot of people were wanting to quit. And through coaching, we're seeing across the nation the organizations that do work with this company, Performance Protocol, they have a 70% retention, increase in retention rates. Like, that's enormous. So I'm just really proud of the work that they're doing and that I'm able to be a part of it. Thank you so much for asking about that. It's an important mission.
Ah, the pleasure is all mine. It's fascinating to hear you tell it in that way. You know, most of your work is centered on executives and becoming a more effective leader, but you also help to empower women and people who just need life support, right? Tell us about this aspect of the coaching work, and do the same methods apply?
They do. Same methods apply, but women process things differently and they're treated differently in the workforce and in life in general. And I feel pretty passionate about sharing what I know in that arena. And for example, before I retired from the FBI, I started a women's group of, it could, you didn't have to be an executive, you didn't even have to be in leadership. You just maybe wanted to be a part of something that was a networking. That would be fine too. So I called it Find Your Fierce, and we talked a little bit about what is a challenge that someone brings to the table? And then we'd have discussions about how can you think about that? What would be some potential solutions that are comfortable for you to explore to improve the situation that you're in? And I shared just some things to think about, like women are much more in the perfectionist realm. So for instance, if you, Jim, and I, Kathleen, are competing for a job that maybe we're 70% qualified for, a man, you would not have any problem putting in your name even if you were 60% qualified. Now, me as a woman, I would say, well, gosh, I'm not 95% qualified, so I couldn't possibly apply. And it's little behaviors like that that once people understand and can see it in the context for which it's offered, they can think differently about it. They can have some critical thinking about, do I just take that at face value, or do I give a little bit more time to the analysis behind my why and hopefully make better decisions for themselves? So, again, another area that, I was a female executive and oftentimes the only woman in the room, and it was challenging. I was also oftentimes the only woman who was not a sworn agent, so there's a double challenge there. And it's you know, building confidence in your skills and learning how to use your voice, and there's a skill to these things. You can't just, like, blurt things out on the table and hope that someone's going to embrace it. You know, there's a skill and there's a finesse and an ease to doing things that allow you to still be powerful in yourself and be influential.
That's what it's all about in so many ways, truly. It's, you know, being influential, and the role of the idea of a good, effective leader, it's changed, hasn't it? There's more compassion and empathy and understanding that's expressed now more than ever.
Now more than ever, and I'm glad to say I love the trend. Yes, when I was growing up through the ranks, there wasn't a lot of question and answer. There wasn't a lot of, well, can you explain the reason why? Mm-mm, just do it. You know, it was very mechanical. And people respond better to being part of. Now, that doesn't mean that a leader has to share every decision that's made with the team. Like, how should we go? Should we go left or should we go right? What I'm saying is that when people feel heard and they feel part of, that their contribution has been valued in some way, the answer is really secondary to the feeling that they had as being part of the team. So if a decision was made that maybe, you know, a couple of people didn't agree with, the tendency to say, okay, well, I trust my leader, and maybe there was information that I wasn't privy to, and I'm going to offer the benefit of the doubt and support this. When you know that you have been included and you've been heard, if you're excluded and you're not even asked about something that's going to affect you in your future, the tendency is to stonewall, to secretly subvert. And being a little bit more engaged with the people side of things, with emotional management and emotional intelligence, you may have an initial investment that's greater than the outcome, but in the long term, your outcome is going to be greater than your investment, hands down.
Any last piece of advice or special message you might want to leave our faithful listeners with who are hanging on to every word that you're sharing here?
Well, I hope that's true. I would be very flattered if that were true. Yes, I do have just a parting word, and that is to speak your truth, even if it's just to one person that you trust. I often find that in my coaching relationships is sometimes people are saying what they've been thinking for a while. They say to me for the very first time out loud. And when you say something out loud or write it, it's almost as though that takes a different shape. Like you can look at it. It's almost 3D. You can see it. You can hear it. And oftentimes, it allows you an opportunity to analyze what you just said. Get it out of your head. Get that ruminating out. Make it a little bit more real. And it helps tremendously to have a safe space to share what you've been thinking. And haven't had a safe place to share. And that's what coaching is all about. It's about a trusted space for somebody to share what they've been thinking and then together coming up with solutions for how to achieve the desired outcomes. And I love it. I love this job for that reason, because I get to help people be who they want to be and realize their life dreams. And it's just really one of the best things I've ever done in my life. I love it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great to hear that, too. And I encourage folks to go to www.thecoachingxp.com. That's thecoachingxp.com to connect with Kathleen. She's amazing. She'd love to hear from you. And Kathleen, this went by so fast. Hope we get a chance to expand some more, maybe hear some success stories, case studies, things of that nature. But a real pleasure chatting with you on the show today, and look forward to chatting more, and hope you enjoy the time with me as much as I have with you. It was a pleasure.
I did. Jim, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day.
You are very, very welcome. Kathleen Mills of The Coaching Experience. Again, here's the website, thecoachingxp.com. Check it out. She's here to help. She's been doing this for a long time, and she cares. And if you paid attention to the last statement she said, other than she had a great time, before that when she said she really loves what she does, that passion is transferred to you when she works with you. She will really roll up her sleeves and dive in on your behalf. Kathleen Mills here on Close Up Radio Live. I'm your host, Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, don't go anywhere. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another incredible guest on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.